I'm going to start by giving or stating something bold, and that is this. People don't fail because they make bad decisions. They fail because they don't make decisions fast enough. That's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast, with someone who has no problem making big and quick decisions. And that's the great Reagan Moore. Reagan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. It's great to be with you. And, you know, we talk about decision making and actually taking the steps to decide, which really prevents people from achieving the level of success they're hoping for. And I'm going to share six reasons why this is the case. And I want you to agree, disagree, and share your thoughts. And the first one being this: decisions determine destiny, but the human brain is wired to hesitate. Okay, and reason number one for this is because there are just simply too many choices. Do you think that impacts people? And if so, why?
Yeah, I know. I think you're totally right. I mean, what are the, you think of some of the most successful fast food restaurants, right? In-N-Out, Chick-fil-A, even Cane's, you know, they offer like one item cooked in a couple different ways, right? You know? And I feel like it's because people go there and it's fast because they don't have to think about it. They already know what they're going to get. And then they just go, they get it, they leave. And they don't have any regrets, because if they would have gotten something else, it would have tasted the exact same, you know? And so I feel like there is a lot of logic and a lot of like reason behind that, that, you know, the less options you're given, the quicker you are to make decisions. And I had a mentor tell me once that money moves with speed. And so whether you're in business or, you know, making personal decisions for your family, finances, whatever it is, the quicker you're able to make those decisions and feel confident about them, the quicker you're able to make money and get yourself in a better position. And I just feel like there's a lot of truth to that.
Oh, absolutely. And Reagan, having the discipline to actually make a decision quickly. Now, people go, I mean, I've worked with thousands of business owners, entrepreneurs, who have told me the key to their success is making decisions fast. But I would say it's because they don't have the opportunity to entertain 500 different options, right? When you make a decision fast, that means you quit running down all the different rabbit holes. They can really stop you from being successful.
Even, I mean, we were just in church on Sunday and they were sharing the story of Moses. You know, that's a very popular story, Moses parting the Red Sea. And but they were sharing a story of Moses and how Moses wasn't afraid until he hesitated. And then all of a sudden the fear started to sink in. And it's like, that's when we start to make things complicated and difficult for us. Like, we know what we're called to do. We know what we're supposed to be doing. When we don't think about it, you know, most of the times we make the right decision, you know, when we're headed down that path, we're like, okay, this is our next step. Let's go. And then you sit there and you hesitate. You're like, wait, but what if I did this? Oh, this is successful for this person. Like, this is helping them get here. Should I do something different? You know, and then you start to feel fear and anxiety, and it's when you just, things get complicated.
Oh, absolutely. And Reagan, take your, for example, in your own personal life, I know we were talking and you said you're going to do a triathlon in the fall, and you immediately joined a group in your community and there in Puerto Rico where you're starting to train. Now think about that for a moment. You just made that decision and went full speed ahead. What if you stopped and said, maybe I should research every training team? Maybe I say, and sometimes it really causes point number two, and that is analysis paralysis, right? Where we start overthinking. And once you start overthinking, your action literally shuts down.
Yes. I feel like I was raised in a couple, like, you know, I bounced between a few states growing up, and in these specific states, skinny culture was a big thing. Everyone was on keto. Everyone, which is nothing against keto. Keto is great, but everyone was just trying to get skinny. No one was focused on, you know, like, maybe if you don't look a certain way, you can still accomplish things, right? And maybe it was just me with my blinders on. I wasn't focused on that. And so I heard all the skinny culture stuff. But moving here to Puerto Rico, it's very interesting because I've made friends and met people of all different types, body types and shapes, and they are so strong, and they've done half marathons, half Ironmans, they've done triathlons, and they don't look like your typical six pack super buff, super toned, Division I athlete, like that I grew up thinking I had to look like in order to accomplish something physically. I always wanted to run a half marathon. I always wanted to do a triathlon. And I'd start training and I'd get discouraged immediately because my times weren't as good, you know, as the people who had been doing it for years or whatever it was. And so I think having that change and moving here and seeing people who look like just normal everyday people accomplishing big things really helped me just jump into it and realize I can do it too.
I love that, Reagan, because so many people think to themselves, I got to look a certain way. I've got to speak a certain way in order to get where I need to be. But the reality is make that decision and quit falling into that second trap, the analysis paralysis, and move forward. Okay, here's number three, Reagan, which the reason, number third reason why people are hesitant to make decisions, even though knowing that decisions determine our destiny, even knowing that decisions will help us get us where we need to be. Number three is the fear of being wrong. How much do you think the fear of being wrong literally stops people from making a decision?
I think to me at least that ties in with to caring about what other people think of you, to a lack of confidence. Because if you're a confident person and you are confident in what you believe, you're confident in who you are, you're almost confident, like you're okay to be wrong because you're like, oh, I'll just change that, you know, and you're not as hesitant. But when you're so nervous and insecure about what other people are thinking of you, then it becomes really scary because it's like, oh, what if I'm wrong? What will that person think of me? I feel like if you're alone and you're researching things and you're studying and you have these opinions and you're more open-minded, you're more willing to be wrong and change that mindset. It's when other people get involved, you're like, oh, I can't be wrong in front of them. That's where, what if I make this decision and it fails? And then all of a sudden my mom says, I told you so, you know, you shouldn't have put your whole life savings into that business. And then all of a sudden your mom's opinion becomes like the only, it becomes your whole reality when that's just not the truth. You know, you convince yourself of that when that's not the case. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that something we've talked about on in previous episodes is fear is simply false expectations appearing real, right? These, we get caught up in that fear trap of maybe, oh my goodness, what will they think of me? Or what if I'm wrong? You know, it's amazing to me. TK and I were having a conversation the other day, and TK Stratton said to me, he goes, Chad, I cannot believe how much people care about other people's opinions about them. He said, people talk trash about me all the time. People say harsh things about me all the time. I don't care, you know? And It's amazing to me. And TK was speaking in front of a youth group and he was just asking them, how much do they care about what other people think? And in this particular group, he was just astounded at how many people really care. And so those really are connected. And TK, you know, he just built a large apartment building in downtown Scottsdale, Arizona, and he's turned it into luxury apartments. It was a biz office building and he turns into luxury apartments. And there's people all over the spectrum that are saying this, saying that. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And I think that's such a powerful reminder to all of us to just not get caught up so much in being wrong, because as Reagan, you pointed out, it's caring what people think.
Right. And those people aren't paying your bills. Those people aren't going to be, you know, taking care of you when things don't go right. So I don't know why we, you know, give them so much energy and so much power, but we do.
Right. Oh, okay, Reagan, number four, how much does emotional overload impact your desire to not make a decision? And let me unpack that just for a second. Emotional overload is your past failures, your stress, your anxiety, all of the above. That's number four. Do you agree with that? That your past failures, that emotional overload, that emotional baggage that you're carrying really stops you from making those decisions?
Yeah, I think that's very, very true, because I mean, I've got two toddlers and they're not afraid to try anything and they're not afraid to do new things and they're not afraid, you know, but then once It's funny, my younger one, he's almost two, and I gave him vegetables, right? I'm trying to sneak him in there, and he doesn't like them. And now he doesn't trust me as much to feed him. So he honestly, like, when I try to feed him, he won't eat as well as he does when his dad tries to feed him because he trusts his dad. You know, he's like, oh, this man's never given me a vegetable before. Like I can trust him to not give me broccoli. So I think, you know, when we have those experiences in the past, whether it's with other people or just with our own failures, like we, you know, it really scars us in a way. It scars us and we just don't feel comfortable moving forward. And I think the key is working past that, you know, and learning to sit there and process it and moving forward with it and creating a lesson out of it rather than just letting it pull you down and you know, never trying it again or letting it, you know, learning from it is important and much more difficult than it is to just let it take over your whole life. But I mean, in the end, it makes you a lot happier if you're able to do that. So.
Well, and Reagan, people on that have listened have heard me share this before, but when a young child, and I appreciate you bringing up your children here, when you were a young child and you went to get a cookie before dinner and your mom said, "No, don't, you're not allowed to have a cookie. We're about to eat dinner." You didn't stop and be like, "Oh, I'm such a failure. I can't believe I went and tried to get a cookie." You know, you're just like, "All right, I'll try again tomorrow." And
Right.
that
Or you
really,
just
because
turn around and try again immediately.
right then, because indecision isn't logical, it's emotional. You are caught up in the things of the past. And here in the United States, there's a big tournament for college basketball players called March Madness. And there was a team that was, it was the end of the game, it was a very close game. And the individual who scored the winning basket for the team that won the game had not scored a point the entire game. And the coach said, he called timeout right before the last play. And he said, "Coach, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I don't care that I failed the entire game. I'm going to score and win this game." And that's exactly what he did.
That's powerful.
And so, well, and let me ask you this. Number five, Reagan, here's number five. Decision fatigue, meaning you get tired of making decisions because you've not obtained the right focus, right? And because you don't have right focus, because you don't have proper clarity in where you're going, you're making decisions all over the place. Do you
Yeah,
think decision?
I think about when I hear decision fatigue, I think too, like, I mean, coming from a perspective as a wife and a mother, you make decisions all day. I texted my husband yesterday and said, I'm so sick of telling people what to do. Like, can someone else just tell me what to do? Can someone, you know, I'm so sick of being bossy because I just, you know, I want someone else to make a decision for once. And I think you can just get tired. Your brain gets so overloaded when you're constantly making these decisions every day, which is why I think it's important to have surround yourself with people who help push you in the right direction so you don't have to constantly be making those important decisions, you know, whether that's a spouse, a business partner, a team, whatever it is, you know, because you're gonna have hard days and days where you're just like not in the mood, but you can't let your mood control you. That's when you lean on those people you trust to make those decisions for you. You know, and you know that they're going to help you make the right decision because they have the same vision that you do. So choosing those people ahead of time, I think, at least in my opinion, is the number one most important thing to help you avoid and overcome decision fatigue because that is so real.
Right. And also being ready, being true to decisions you've already made, right? Like you, when, and this, share another TK example. We were sitting in a boardroom with one of the companies he owns, and I was consulting with him on it. And one of the executives at the table said, "Hey, TK," and TK is the owner of the company, and says, "Hey, TK, this individual," and he said it by name, "is really talking a lot of trash on you about you." And TK goes, "Oh, okay." And then he continues the conversation, and the person's like, "TK, again, hey, TK, this person's really saying some negative things about you." And he's like, "Oh, okay." So, and he didn't, and the person, I could see it driving the individual nuts that TK didn't want to ask what they were saying, right? He didn't care. But TK had made a decision, and he's very conscious about it, to keep positive. I've decided that I will not entertain negativity in my life. That's it. And TK's committed to positivity. He's committed to only the positive energy of people around him that's positive, that he's not going to entertain those negative comments, thoughts, or conversations. And I just watched it. I don't know if he knew exactly what he was doing, but because of that, being true to his decision, he didn't have to decide at that moment, oh, should I ask here? And that would open up a whole another load of questions and decisions and so forth. But he said, no, I'm not. I have decided, actually, I decided years ago that I'm not going to engage in negative conversations. I'm not going to engage in negative dialogue. And because I've already decided that and been true to that decision, I don't have decision fatigue when it comes to that.
I think there's a lot of power to that. It's kind of like, I feel like when I was a kid, I was taught, make the decision now that you're not gonna drink alcohol and you won't ever want to drink alcohol. And as a 14-year-old, you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna make the decision that I'm not gonna drink alcohol, but you're not really thinking putting much into that. But as you grow older, I've never had a sip of alcohol to this day because I made that decision when I was a kid. Like I feel like you, it really is powerful, when you hold to it and when you have that discipline to be like, no, I respect my younger self and I respect the decisions I made previously. So I'm going to go ahead and stick to that, because and like you're right, it prevents, it gets rid of that brain work, so you don't have to even think about it.
Right, you're clear on that decision that you've made. You're clear and you understand that, and you're true to yourself. Now, here's point number six, and we'll wrap up with this one. And that is indecision, understanding indecision, it has consequences. Not deciding is actually a decision with consequences. That we don't make a decision. It's like if you were in healthcare and you delay treatment, it's not if you are in need of healthcare. And if you delay treatment, that's going to give you a worse outcome. And
Yeah.
so you make quick and rapid decisions. And when you make those decisions, it changes everything. In fact, we speaking of healthcare, Chase, one of my children, they were playing basketball and he went up for a layup and got fouled pretty hard and he came down on his hand and it hurt really bad. And he thought that it might be broken. So we took him to the doctor and the doctor x-rayed it and it said, I don't know. I don't think it's broken. But then they're like, but there's a little area we're concerned with. So they sent it to an orthopedic surgeon and the orthopedic surgeon looked at it and he's like, I don't know, I don't know. And so he turned to Chase and he said, Chase, I think I should put you in this brace for 6 weeks just in case. And Chase goes, just in case what? He goes, well, in case it's broken. And Chase goes, yeah, no, that doesn't work for me. And he goes, and the doctor, this is the doctor. And Chase is 15 years old. And he goes, what do you mean it doesn't work for you? And he goes, in a month, 6 weeks from now, basketball season's over. Is it broken? And the doctor goes, I don't think so. And he goes, then we're done. And he handed him the brace and he went on his way. But he had made that decision that I'm playing basketball. Now, of course, if the hand was broken, then he wouldn't have played. But because the doctor
Right.
didn't know, and he's like, I don't know, maybe not. Chase is like, no, I'm making the decision. He made the decision. It ended up, fortunately, not to be broken, and he finished with a great season. But the point is, he was making the decision. The doctor was indecisive. The doctor's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe not. Jace is like, let me help you out. I'm going to make that decision. So, indecision has real consequences.
Yeah. I love that.
Sometimes we just have to be quicker to make decisions. Well, Reagan, you've been quick your entire life to make decisions. When we have talked before, when you're 19 years old, you decide that you're 18 years old, you decide you're gonna go be a nanny for a former Major League Baseball star. Within 2 weeks, you made that decision. You just most recently have just joined a group that you're gonna go swim and you're gonna do a triathlon. If there's one thing you could tell everyone listening, to help them make decisions quicker, what would it be?
Well, I think one common thing that you mentioned with each of those examples is that there was a deadline. I mean, if I wanted to go nanny and take this opportunity to go work for this, like you said, former Major League Baseball player and make a certain amount of money that was really appealing as an 18-year-old, I had to like make that decision within 2 weeks. I wanted to join this team of triathletes and they had a triathlon coming up in October. So I'm like, okay, I'm postpartum with two kids. I need to make that decision fast because I need to start training fast. Even moving to Puerto Rico, Travis and I had to decide within a week if we were going to move or not. I think that is like, deadlines are so powerful and they stress a lot of people out, but I think deadlines can be a very, very positive thing at the same time. Saying, okay, I want to get this done by this date, or even deadlines other people put on you. I think once you recognize like how much you're able to accomplish when someone gives you a deadline, you're going to be shocked at everything that you can accomplish because like you're stronger than you actually think you are. That's a fact. Like I do believe that you're stronger than you believe and you won't ever find that out unless you push yourself in order to get there. I mean, get to where you want to be. It's really important. So
I love that. I love that. And I'll just conclude with this. I love what you share, but I want to emphasize you're stronger than what you believe. I was talking to my daughter-in-law, Carly, and she was talking, she served a mission for her church during COVID. And as she, things just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And she got food poisoning. It was COVID. She just couldn't handle anything more. And she turned to God and she said, God, I can't handle anything else. She prayed and said, God, I can't handle anything else. I've hit my limit. And the next day she woke up and had bed bugs. And I said, what? And she goes, God taught me a powerful lesson. And I said, what's that? And she goes, I could do more than I thought I could do. I could do more than I thought I could do. And I was like, wow, Carly, what a powerful, powerful lesson. We can do more than we think we can do. Make decisions to help you get there. Decide quickly and fast. Reagan, thank you, thank you, thank you for your insights. Thank you for everything you shared. Always great having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye now.
See ya.